I just want to encourage us from the Word of God, and I'm reading from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We commence reading from verse 9 to 21, but I'll be focusing in verse 12. Hear now the word of God. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brother affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Our focus verse, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This far we read the word of God. Amen. I want us to get encouragement at the beginning of the second semester from this passage, and particularly in verse 12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. If we, and I want to believe we are Christians, there are some marks that we obviously have to show, that we have to see and say, yes, he or she is Christian. And you'd see it even with our own things, things that we own, say a book. You'd write in that book, it's yours. You bought that book, you write your name in it. It belongs to you. In the same way, God owns us. And when we read Romans, and especially 12:12, we see that we can point at some things, indicators, to reveal who we are. Those who belong to God are marked in Christ. Us who belong to God are marked in Christ. We pursue to follow Christ, who obeys God, his Father. And therefore, there must be something in us of obedience that we learn from Christ. According to the Apostle Paul, Christians are marked by genuine love. And you can see that in verse 9. Christians are not lazy people. We don't just sit in bed or in our couch watching TV the whole day, yet you know that you're a student. And, you know, think magically somehow by the Holy Spirit, you know, things will just sink into your head and you will excel in your assignment and all that. It doesn't work like that. Christians are not less people. Verse 10. You can never assume, yes, you have enrolled as a student, but you're enjoying your sophies, enjoying your soccer, enjoying your TV, and when time comes now, and you know tomorrow you have to submit your assignment, and then you get your Bible and your study guide, you put it under the pillow and you sleep, and you think, God, please help me. It's not going to work like that. It will not work like that. Christians are not less people. I can point out a lot of things here, but I want to focus us to verse 12. Christians are marked by joy. Joy. Do you have joy? Are you excited with this second semester? What brings you joy? A lot of things would trigger joy. True Christians got joy in hope. That's what I want us to look at this morning. True Christians got joy in hope. Usually people rejoice in what they can see and hear on earth. Things you can see. Say you buy a new shoe. I remember when I was still young, when my parents buy me something, you know, see a shoes or a pair of clothes or whatever it is. I'll be so excited. I can't wait for Sunday. I want to put on my new attire, you know. So yes, usually people rejoice in what they can see and what they can hear. These things, they do give us some joy. But Paul says, rejoice in hope. You hear the kind of joy Paul is talking about here? Rejoice in hope. Not so much in what you can see and touch and smell. Rejoice in hope. Christians got joy in this life, but not from earthly things. Because if your joy only comes from things you can see, things you can touch, things you can smell, well, you will be very hurt. Because those things may not last forever. That pair of shoes which brought you some joy will not always be there. What really gives Christians confidence and joy is yet to be fulfilled. It's in hope. It's yet to be fulfilled. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'll point you to Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6. We are saying Christians got joy, not so much in things we see and can touch. Yes, they do give us joy. I don't know about you, I'm excited for this second semester. Truth be told, I am excited. I'm excited to see you students. You know, I am excited. Gives me some joy. But we are talking about, maybe you are not excited to see me in this second semester, but I am. A few examples from the Bible, Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6, when we are talking about this joy in hope. Genesis 15, 5 to 6, Abraham. Even when there was no reason for hope, he looked forward with joyful expectancy to the fulfillment of God's promise that he will be a father of many nations. We know the story. Genesis 15, 5 to 6. Abraham looked forward, rejoicing in hope. He looked forward with joyful expectancy to the fulfillment of God's promise. Does that give you joy when you read the scriptures and when you hear what God promises us? And I mean, He will never lie. Right? God will never lie. And that we know from time past. That we know even from your own life. Oh, here's another one. Psalm 16, 8 to 10. I'll just summarize it. Psalm 16, 8, 10. It's about David. King David rejoiced in hope, eagerly anticipating the Lord's salvation. Now, if you are not a Christian, if you are just an earthly person, you say, what is here to give me joy? King David rejoiced in hope. And what is giving him the joy? He eagerly anticipated the Lord's salvation. If you're a Christian, you go like, so what is that? The Lord's salvation. Gave him joy. Let me give you one passage from the New Testament. I may not read these passages. Luke 10, 17 to 20. Luke 10, 17 to 20. We have here the story of the 72 disciples were sent by Jesus to minister to the lost. They returned with joy, the Bible says. What are they saying? That's my interest. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Oh, Jesus confronts them. What does he say? Do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice in what you can see. That the spirits are subject to you, but what should you rejoice in? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But we can't see. Yes, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's guaranteed. You will never lose it. That which can give you joy today. After a couple of weeks, months, it's gone. It's worn out. The kind of joy we're talking about here for Christians is this pure joy, sure joy, guaranteed joy. It will never disappear. It will always be there. And I mean, if you're a pastor, if you are ministering, there is some joy. You pray for somebody and, you know, the feedback is given, Pastor, you pray for me, I'm fine, I'm better. We praise the Lord, it gives us some joy. True. That is true. But even more so, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Christian joy is not in earthly things, but in heavenly things. It is in heaven, looking forward, in hope. To know that we've got salvation, like David, and that Jesus Christ will come back to restore the world. And we know the Messiah was promised. And he came. And after he ministered, time came, he went back to his Father, and there is a sure promise in the scriptures that Christ will come back. Does that give you joy? Child of God, Christian, it should, and I want to believe it does give you joy. For an unbeliever, you know, hearing that Christ will come back and that surely he is coming back, it brings some level of terror, fear. I'm not ready. For a Christian, come Lord Jesus. Come now, John says. It gives you joy. The coming of Christ. But again, it's in verse 12. We ought to be patient. We ought to be patient. Christians rejoice in hope as we read scriptures. That's very true. And so Every Christian, I want to believe, when you open the Bible and when you're reading the scriptures, you just go like, wow, look at this truth. Look at this promise. And I'm looking forward to this. And the Word of God just brings joy to a Christian. It gives us hope. And encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. He will never lie. That which God promises, He's not like man. And say, you know, say I promise something to my children. When I come back, I'll have bought you a candy or whatever. And then for some reason I got so busy, I didn't manage to pass by the grocery store and come home. Ah, sorry my son, I didn't make it. God is not like that. That which He promises, He fulfills. And there is no circumstance He can say, I didn't see that coming. So, my promise, maybe next time. Not with God. That which He promises, He fulfills. That which we read in the scriptures, God fulfills. Christians look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Will be revealed. Titus 2:13. And what we can learn until then, between now and until then, is patience. Be patient. It's also a mark of a Christian. Patience. Are you patient? I remember when I was in university, people would change their majors, you know. Before the end of the year, and then they go like, no. I mean, we used to see, you are going to say education, and even in the libraries of these departments, education, theology, lawyers are there, and all that. And why are you here? I changed my major. I thought I was going to be an engineer, but I think I'm now in education. And usually, I don't know how it happens, but usually people, when they enroll for all these big things, and then later you find, no, I'm just doing teaching. What happened? And sometimes I think people are not patient with themselves. Yes, we've enrolled. You're doing theology here at Mukanyo. And usually, and I've seen it in the time past, at the beginning of the semester, especially at the beginning of the year, in the beginning of semester one, we have these students. And then after a month or two, they begin to disappear one by one. Where are you going? You're not patient with yourself. You just feel, but I'm not coping. I can't keep up. Where is your endurance? Where is your patience? I want to encourage you that, well, patience is a mark of a Christian. Be patient. But even more so, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. And many of the times when we draw from theological training, there is an assumption, you just come to Mukanyo, the lecturer will read the Bible and say, what do you think about this verse? And you say, whatever you think, you're correct. And what do you think, whatever, you're correct also. Also, you're correct. And then now, when reality kicks in, then you realize, no way, it's not a walk in the park. And that's when you begin to question, why do you even have to do Greek? Why do you even have to do Hebrew? I mean, I wrote my assignment and then come on, you can't tell me that I got 55%. Because you thought whatever that you're going to write is correct. And for some reasons, your joy is crushed. And usually I see it as students, you know, in the beginning of the semester. There is this joy, there's passion, they want to study and everything. Wonderful! It should be there. But after a couple of weeks, it's gone. Be constant in prayer. Christians pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This doesn't mean that we Christians would be in a head-bowed position all the time. That's not what we mean by saying Christians pray without ceasing. We don't mean our eyes are always closed. That's not what we're saying. Paul is referring to an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender, which Christians carry all the time. God consciousness and surrendering to God all the time. Christians live life in awareness that God is with us all the times. Even in difficult times, He is always with us. Even in easy and good times, He is always with us. Both in good and bad times. Therefore, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I mean, when things get tough in the midst of the semester, the solution is not to quit. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of second semester. And I promise you, it will get hot. You see, you're going to receive the module planners. And then you see, okay, fine, on this day I'll write the test, on this day submit the assignment, and on this day, okay, fine, I'll have a class, okay, it's a holiday, it's what? You receive that? It's on paper, right? Now it has to practically happen. And before you realize, assignment is due tomorrow. Huh? But it will be given to you on day one of your classes. And then that's where you panic, because you didn't plan properly. That's why you panic. That's why you now check Uncle Google. And now there is this artificial intelligence which students are using. We are aware about that for your own information. We know. And that's where cheating kicks in. You didn't plan properly. Your joy is crushed. Instead of enjoying your studies now, you're no longer enjoying your studies. Now you even have to cheat. I mean, Christian, cheating. You have to cheat now because you see, time is gone. I didn't plan properly. My joy is crushed. Instead of enjoying your studies, you can't even enjoy anymore. You're just doing it for the sake of, let some lecturer mark this paper. And then I bring it back to you and I say, sorry, but things are not in order. Then when you see me, you feel, is it a banzoo? A pastor? Is he even a pastor? Okay, not pastor, but just mark everything. Dear friend, I want to encourage you with this message. Christians got joy. Our joy is in hope. Yes, let not our bad planning, our lack of patience with ourselves, let not our laziness to pray, you know, hinder our joy in the Lord. Christians got joy not in accomplishments and things of this world, not in victories of this world. Ultimately, not in the victories of this world, but in the Lord. While things of this world only give temporary, I don't even call it temporary joy, temporary excitement. But the true joy and power to endure through difficult circumstances, persecutions and afflictions is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your joy in everything
or in the Lord.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we say thank you for this second semester, and it's our prayer that you may bless us with the joy that is necessary to carry us through, such that even when the difficulties of this semester would come, we would still press on and look to you, and there find our joy, our strength, and our hope. Would you please be with our students, Lord, we ask. We pray for the Spirit, the teachable Spirit. We pray that, Lord, the same way you called them, you will give them endurance, patience to be here, to study your word, to desire to be shaped and to be sharpened in preparation for ministry. Father, we surrender ourselves unto you, even as lecturers, that you will work through us. We depend upon you for wisdom, for strength, for good health. Would you please, God Almighty, grant us all that is necessary to execute our various tasks this semester. And we trust in you, not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not in our qualifications. Our trust, God Almighty, is in you. We pray for the indwellment of your Spirit. Would you please, God Almighty, be with each one of us? And we pray that in churches, wherever we are serving, that you are going to use us as sharp instruments in your kingdom, to the honor and glory of King Jesus. This we pray.